Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. We're breaking into the news because the American Family Radio News, because we're awaiting the president to speak from the White House. And when he does come to the podium, we will break away from this program and go live to Washington, D.C. in the White House and hear from President Trump. This is Tim Wildman with American Family Radio. The program is Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano is with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
As is Fred Jackson, news director.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred, as I said, the president will be speaking momentarily. Mm-hmm. It's not from the Oval Office I'm seeing. It's from another room there in the White House.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So I'm not sure what I'm looking at the Fox News feed trying to figure out which room that is. It's not the press room.
No.
Which has cobwebs. now, huh? It needs a good dusting since Sarah left, and the president decided to quit doing those daily news briefs. But what will the president be talking about, Fred?
Well, this will be the first official response from President Trump in the wake of the Iranian missiles heading into Iraq last night. I'm sure most of our audience are aware of that missile attack. Last evening, our time, central time here in America, some of those missiles hit an Iraqi base which has U.S. personnel on them. Now, a couple of things that we're learning this morning as we wait to hear from the president is that there are reports this morning that the United States, early on yesterday, was given notice that this was going to happen. The Iranians actually gave the United States notice this was going to happen. This puts a different kind of perspective on all of this. It's almost like, in order to appease our people, we have to do something in the wake of the killing of Soleimani. And so we got some missiles, and they may land on this base that has American personnel on them, but it's not our intention to go beyond that. Now, that's very interesting. If those reports are true, then this is more for showcase versus anything else. Now, last night, when this was happening, everybody was talking, okay, what is President Trump going to do? Are we going to fire back tonight? Are we going to throw missiles into Iran tonight? But you remember last night, the president tweeted out, everybody's okay. I think I'm paraphrasing.
All is well, he said.
All is well. And that was it. And then he said, I'll talk to the American people tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, here we are tomorrow morning. And so the reports of the Americans being put on notice about this, it looks like that may have been true. That this was a bit of military political theater on the part of the Iranians.
Saving face.
Saving face. And I don't know whether the president will get into that in his address. But as I say, we're still waiting for that official statement from the president from the White House, which should take
which we're going to carry live here on American Family Radio. I'm curious to know, looking at the video feed from the White House, again, it's not from the press room. It's not from the Oval Office. I thought it might be from the Oval Office with a speech delivered with no questions.
Right.
I don't know if the people sitting in the pews, sitting in the seats are reporters.
I don't think so.
And I don't, because if I were the president right now, I would not field questions.
No.
Today.
Right.
I would just simply make a statement or speak to the American people and to the world, really. The world's really watching. Because we've not had a president deal with Iran in such a way as president.
And there have been a number of provocations from Iran. You know, remember they shot down, was it last year, shot down a drone, remember?
Yes.
They you know, attacked a couple of oil tankers.
But they attacked our embassy a couple of a few days ago, right?
Right. But what I'm saying is President Trump has really shown a great deal of restraint. Mm-hmm. In fact, he was going to retaliate for when they shot down the drone. Remember, he asked his advisors, how many people will die? And then he decided not to respond. He was criticized by Democrats, if I'm not mistaken, for not responding in that case. So,
you know,
he has shown restraint.
The Democrats at this point, maybe this will change today, although I know I'm hoping against hope on this one. that they will become patriotic Americans and not I hate Donald Trumpers only. This is not a moment for, this is not a time for, well, what? Not all the Democrats, but some of them, what they're doing here, you know, like Elizabeth Warren.
Right.
She sounded so pathetic last night. I was watching her. She said she's suggesting that President Trump did this
because he's afraid
get the eyes off of the impeachment.
Yeah.
You have others.
As if there wasn't an attack on our embassy.
Nancy Pelosi says is saying I'm going to tie his hands.
No, she's not.
No, she's not. That is not a quote from Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. What I'm saying is, what she wants to do is tie the hands of the commander-in-chief so that he can't do anything further with regard to Iran.
She said she was going to have, the House was going to pass a resolution.
That's her first reaction.
Restricting, to your point, tie his hands is what we would say.
Yes.
Restricting his ability to do anything to Iran.
But that's her first instinct.
Yes.
Same with the other presidential candidates. Joe Biden, what is he saying?
Oh,
that poor man is I say poor man because his mental state is just he doesn't have it. I'm not saying he's completely lost it. I'm just saying the guy can't remember what he did and what he said last week or
yes
a few years ago. Go ahead.
And he certainly doesn't remember what he said in 1995 when he defended the a president's right to do what is ever necessary, much along the line of what President Trump has done. So, I mean, the reaction so far from the Democrats has been extremely just politics. We've said it before, they hate President Trump more than they love this country.
But it's showing. You don't need to be so obvious about it. You know, you really don't.
Yes.
That doesn't sit well with the majority of the American people out there. The country's split 50-50. I know that pretty much. For or against the president, how you feel about President Trump. But when it comes to something like this, you've got to present more than we hate Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So whatever he does, we're going to be against.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead. So.
But I'm not sure if we're still waiting.
Yeah, the president was supposed to speak at 10 o'clock Central Time, which was 12 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're now at 12 after the hour, and we're waiting. We're going to go live again here on American Family Radio to the president's speech in Washington, D.C. at the White House regarding the Iranian situation as soon as he comes to the podium. So that's any minute now.
One of the other stories coming out of this missile attack by the Iranians last night is the downing of a Ukrainian airliner that had just taken off from the airport there in Tehran. 176 people on board, everyone perished. And the belief is that plane was struck by one of those missiles.
Right.
And the Iranians are saying this morning they're not going to turn over the black box to
Boeing.
The Ukrainians or to Boeing to analyze this. That, to me, is almost a total admission that they actually shot down. Now, it may have been by accident, but that one of their missiles brought down that Ukrainian airliner, and with 176 people killed. I tell you, you know, in Iran, I think today we have to realize, number one, they are hurting from the sanctions that have been imposed
They're a very weak country.
They are right now. And
ruled by the Ayatollahs.
Yes.
Here's how this works over there, as best I can understand it. Ed, you might want to chime in here. What happened in the late 70s, I don't know for how long. How long was the Shah in charge?
Oh, I think it was decades.
Okay. They had they basically had a westernized country inside the Middle East there.
Right.
Inside the Muslim world with the Shah of Iran. And so they had a lot more freedom, the people of Iran. When the revolution took place, it was the Islamic fundamentalist, basically revolution, I don't know the proper title of it, with the Ayatollah Khomeini. The Ayatollah, for lack of a better analogy, is the Pope of the Shia, right, in Iran, or of the Muslims in Iran.
I think, yeah, he's the religious clerical head in Iran.
Isn't that what the Pope is?
Well, but the Pope is the head of the Catholic Church worldwide. I don't think Khomeini is the leader.
I'm not trying to argue with you, Ed.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm teasing with Ed, folks. But what I'm saying is, I'm trying to give an analogy people could understand. But he's also not just the religious leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini, and it's not the same one from the 70s. They have, just like the Pope is goes by the Pope, different individuals. It's the same way with the Ayatollah, right? So the Ayatollah, they took over. He and the religious leaders took over, so it became a theocracy again. So the religious leader in Iran is both theological and political, and it's a totalitarian state, so that they use the secret police, and I don't know how secret they are, but they beat people and kill people, and they control them with terrorism, the country I'm talking about. So a lot of Iranians fled after the Islamic Revolution. That's when they took our hostages. Remember that?
Right.
The American hostages. So that's a situation over there. A lot of Iranians have moved away, and they're cheering. I was reading this last night. Iranians who got out of Iran, for the most part, I was reading last night around the world, certainly here in the United States, are cheering the fact that this guy was killed the other day.
Soleimani
was killed the other day because he has been a part of terrorizing the people of Iran,
who for the most part are people, especially amongst the younger generations, who want Western freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this radical Islamic control of the country, and they did it in the name of Islam because the Shah of Iran for almost 40 years led a pro-Western country that had a lot of freedoms. You know, women could drive and all those kinds of things. And these mullahs said that, no, you're opposing Islam
Allah.
And so they took over. Now they've opposed Sharia law and so on and so forth. So you have a lot of people who I think in Iran would want the mullahs gone.
Well, they rose up
a
few years ago. You remember that? Just 4 or 5 years ago, they rose up in Iran in pretty significant numbers to oppose the mullahs and the totalitarian state and the way they were brutalizing their own people. Was that when President Obama wouldn't say anything in support of the freedom?
That was,
or did he?
I don't remember.
You remember that? President Obama got criticized by people like us because he wasn't saying anything to support those in Iran who wanted their freedom and wanted to end this religious, theological theocracy. I remember that.
Because that was kind of the Arab Spring, they called it, wasn't it? Throughout.
Yes, and President Obama wouldn't say anything in support or in condemnation of the mullahs. Anyway,
they were looking to the United States to come out in support of it.
Yes, and from what I understand reading about Iran, but it's a country of 80 million, something like that, is that they have, they're very, very weakened now economically by all the sanctions and against their country. And so if the United States wanted to do so, you could cripple them completely with a military strike on their oil installations.
Right.
Because they still pump oil, so to speak, and they sell it. I don't know who all they sell it to. Maybe China, or I don't know who.
Russia.
Russia?
Russia.
So that's about all they got, though.
But it's a game of calculations, right? Because you want to keep the majority of the Iranian people open to the idea of overthrowing the mullahs.
Yeah.
You don't want the people to be all united in hatred for America because we destroyed their oil wells. So
that's something that the president has to work out and decide.
A lot of calculation.
And his advisors have to tell him, so I don't know. We don't know what's the delay from Washington, but the president was supposed to speak at 10 o'clock Central Time. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah, that's okay. When they told
and
us.
And now we're what?
Almost 20 minutes past that.
20 minutes. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Guys, I was we'll ask Frank Gaffney this when he's on with us. He's still going to be on with us or not? Frank, okay. Frank Gaffney, be on with us. He is an expert in this field of international, you know, he knows all about what the topic we're going to be talking about today. But I'm not sure the world leaders, I wonder what's going on behind closed doors with world leaders, because this had to be, this was a stunning development when the president decided to take this guy out.
Yes.
I'll bet it stunned Iran, too.
It stunned Iran. Putin, he hasn't said anything, has he? Vladimir Putin? I haven't seen anything from China. There are a lot of people who won't say so openly who are glad this guy's gone.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Israel, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, Netanyahu is praised.
But Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the whole Sunni world, millions of Iranians who can't speak freely are glad this guy's gone. Talking about the guy that President Trump took out.
Right.
Soleimani, yeah.
Soleimani.
Yep.
So, because he was a great destabilizing force.
And a cruel, cruel man.
Yes.
I mean, in terms of his torture of Iranians. His own people. That's why you're talking about Iranian Americans who are, yeah.
Who are glad. But I wanted to say, think about the psychology here. If you're in Iran and you're one of their leaders, you have to be thinking, America knows where I am. The American military knows where I am. And they can hit me with a drone from thousands of miles away. I don't know how far those things have to fly. And I have no warning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Death from the sky.
That's very unsettling.
Right.
You don't have time to go to a bunker,
right?
Because you're out in the open to go drive down the road, and next thing you, I mean, I'm just saying that psychology has to be in their mind that I could be, I could be the next one taken out.
Oh yeah, when the briefing that has been done, and I think even the president yesterday when he was questioning about the events leading up to the taking out of Soleimani, they had been tracking him for days. And they had the intelligence. Many people say the Israeli intelligence element was involved with this. They knew exactly where he was going to be. His plane landed there in Baghdad. He got into a vehicle with his friends, and they were driving away from the airport, and they were hit, and there was nothing left. So if you're sitting in Tehran,
right,
you're one of those mullahs, and you're sitting there, and you have to now realize – you have intelligence elements within the United States, probably some Iraqis involved with this, probably some Iranians involved with this, that worked together so that that drone delivered that missile at exactly the right time. That has to be unnerving for the folks in Tehran.
Yeah, and I will say this, that the Iranians have an awful lot of air defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I just don't know. I'm just not sure. If you can just send a drone in to Iran and take out another one of their leaders. This was a special circumstance. That's why the intelligence community told the president, he's in Iraq.
Yes.
That's where we can get him.
He just arrived.
Yeah, arrived.
They knew he was going to arrive there.
To stir up trouble. And the president said the other day he was planning and plotting to kill a lot of Americans, this guy he was in Iraq.
Right.
That's where he's in. And he was feeling free to go around Iraq. Mm-hmm. You've got to understand, too, and I'm, someone is coming to the podium.
They just put the written comments that he's going to make on the podium.
So he should be. The president, we're going to go live to Washington, D.C., to the White House to hear from the president momentarily. That's what we're telling you, folks. So we'll be breaking into this program as soon as we see the president coming to the podium so you can hear him for yourself. He will obviously be talking about the situation with Iran.
Now, there will be a little bit of delay, correct? If people are listening to our radio station but watching the television, it won't. It'll be a little bit of a delay.
About 20 seconds or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if that if you're watching your if you're watching Fox News on mute and listening to the radio, it's not going to line up exactly.
This is such a contrast because President Obama tried to appease the Iranians. Mm-hmm. President Obama gave them billions of dollars, a terrorist state, to try to get them to the goal by Obama. President Obama would have been to try to get them to not build a nuclear weapon, right? Basically, that was it. That's what he would tell you, President Obama. And to make peace.
In fact, there was a meme that was going around after Soleimani was killed, where Soleimani was asking President Trump, "Can will you send me a pallet of cash, too, like Obama did?" And they showed in the next frame Trump saying, "Yeah, yeah, you can pick it up at the airport," mm-hmm. which is where he got hit.
Mm-hmm. But that was the whole mentality of the Obama administration. Hillary Clinton's Secretary of State, under her leadership, I remember some of her people saying, when they're asked about how to deal with terrorism there in the Middle East, one of her spokespeople said, just give them jobs. That's all these people need is jobs. And I mean,
that was after the London attacks.
Yeah, the world was laughing at them. The world was laughing. Are you so naive that you actually believe that a terrorist will stop doing what a terrorist does if you give them a job?
I tell you another thing that's insulting and I think is really going to hurt the Democrats and the liberal news media is they're acting like the United States and Iran are moral equivalents.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed this?
Yeah.
They're like, we're provoking them and they're provoking us. And, it's like kind of like there's no real difference between, the United States and our cause and the Iranian, a terrorist state, in their cause.
Yeah,
you keep hearing these kinds of arguments made by again the Democrats and some of the Democrats are okay. Here is the president. There's Vice President Pence.
And
can we go to our feed yet? Tell me when we can go to our feed. We want to go to. We'll be going to, and we'll let the president speak, and then we'll come back with our show live here. On American Family Radio, the Vice President Pence, Secretary of State Pompeo, Secretary of Defense, the gentleman's name,
Asper,
he is there.
Mm-hmm.
We see some military.
Joint Chiefs of Staff, I believe it is.
That's the Joint Chiefs of Staff, all four of them or five of them. So they're all surrounding the president, and he's about to come to the podium to speak. Evidently, mm-hmm. and it will be from the White House. It's not in the Oval Office, and it's not in the press room. It's not at the Rose Garden, so I'm not sure which room that's in exactly. If I sound like I'm stammering here, we have a 20-second delay we have to consider here between here comes the president.
Yes.
Can we go live in 10, 5? Okay, we're going to be going live to Washington, D.C., to the White House.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. Good morning. I'm pleased to inform you the American people should be extremely grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime. We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe, and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases. Our great American forces are prepared for anything. Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world. No American or Iraqi lives were lost because of the precautions taken, the dispersal of forces, and an early warning system that worked very well. I salute the incredible skill and courage of America's men and women in uniform. For far too long,
all the way back to 1979, to be exact, nations have tolerated Iran's destructive and destabilizing behavior in the Middle East and beyond. Those days are over. Iran has been the leading sponsor of terrorism, and their pursuit of nuclear weapons threatens the civilized world. We will never let that happen. Last week, we took decisive action to stop a ruthless terrorist from threatening American lives. At my direction, the United States military eliminated the world's top terrorist, Qasem Soleimani. As the head of the Quds Force, Soleimani was personally responsible for some of the absolutely worst atrocities. He trained terrorist armies, including Hezbollah, launching terrorist strikes against civilian targets. He fueled bloody civil wars all across the region. He viciously wounded and murdered thousands of U.S. troops, including the planting of roadside bombs that maim and dismember their victims. Soleimani directed the recent attacks on U.S. personnel in Iraq that badly wounded four service members and killed one American, and he orchestrated the violent assault on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. In recent days, he was planning new attacks on American targets, but we stopped him. Soleimani's hands were drenched in both American and Iranian blood. He should have been terminated long ago. By removing Soleimani, we have sent a powerful message to terrorists. If you value your own life, you will not threaten the lives of our people. As we continue to evaluate options in response to Iranian aggression, the United States will immediately impose additional punishing economic sanctions on the Iranian regime. These powerful sanctions will remain until Iran changes its behavior. In recent months alone, Iran has seized ships in international waters, fired an unprovoked strike on Saudi Arabia, and shot down two U.S. drones. Iran's hostilities substantially increased after the foolish Iran nuclear deal was signed in 2013. And they were given $150 billion, not to mention $1.8 billion in cash. Instead of saying thank you to the United States, they chanted death to America. In fact, they chanted death to America the day the agreement was signed. Then Iran went on a terror spree, funded by the money from the deal, and created in Yemen, Syria, Lebanon, Afghanistan, and Iraq. The missiles fired last night at us and our allies were paid for with the funds made available by the last administration. The regime also greatly tightened the reins on their own country, even recently killing 1,500 people at the many protests that are taking place all throughout Iran. The very defective JCPOA expires shortly anyway and gives Iran a clear and quick path to nuclear breakout. Iran must abandon its nuclear ambitions and end its support for terrorism. The time has come for the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Russia, and China to recognize this reality. They must now break away from the remnants of the Iran deal, or JCPOA. And we must all work together toward making a deal with Iran that makes the world a safer and more peaceful place. We must also make a deal that allows Iran to thrive and prosper and take advantage of its enormous untapped potential. Iran can be a great country. Peace and stability cannot prevail in the Middle East as long as Iran continues to foment violence, unrest, hatred, and war. The civilized world must send a clear and unified message to the Iranian regime
your campaign of terror, murder, mayhem will not be tolerated any longer. It will not be allowed to go forward. Today, I am going to ask NATO to become much more involved in the Middle East process. Over the last 3 years, under my leadership, our economy is stronger than ever before, and America has achieved energy independence. These historic accomplishments change our strategic priorities. These are accomplishments that nobody thought were possible. And options in the Middle East became available. We are now the number one producer of oil and natural gas anywhere in the world. We are independent, and we do not need Middle East oil. The American military has been completely rebuilt under my administration at a cost of $2.5 trillion. U.S. armed forces are stronger than ever before. Our missiles are big, powerful, accurate, lethal, and fast. Under construction are many hypersonic missiles. The fact that we have this great military and equipment, however, does not mean we have to use it. We do not want to use it. American strength, both military and economic, is the best deterrent. 3 months ago, after destroying 100% of ISIS and its territorial caliphate, we killed the savage leader of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, who was responsible for so much death, including the mass beheadings of Christians, Muslims, and all who stood in his way. He was a monster. Al-Baghdadi was trying again to rebuild the ISIS caliphate and failed. Tens of thousands of ISIS fighters have been killed or captured during my administration. ISIS is a natural enemy of Iran. The destruction of ISIS is good for Iran, and we should work together on this and other shared priorities. Finally, to the people and leaders of Iran, we want you to have a future and a great future, one that you deserve, one of prosperity at home and harmony with the nations of the world. The United States is ready to embrace peace with all who seek it. I want to thank you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank
you. That is the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. We were carrying that live with about a 10-15 second delay from the White House in Washington, D.C., here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Fred Jackson. You're listening to the program Today's Issues. And the president was commenting, obviously, on the situation regarding Iran. Abraham Hamilton III joins us in studio, as he does most Wednesdays at this time. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Fred, your thoughts on what the president was just talking about there?
I thought some key points.
He's not taking questions, by the way.
No.
Which I think is wise.
Very wise.
Yes.
I think he set a certain tone. Definitely, he didn't talk about firing back in the wake of what happened last night. I think there is a stepping back for the moment.
He was sober.
He was sober to give the Iranian mullahs a chance to understand that if they try this kind of nonsense again, he will attack. But a couple of key points that I saw. He directly blamed Obama's billions of dollars for financing Iranian terrorism.
Right.
He made no bones about that. The money that they got in that initial deal, remember the pallets of cash from the Obama administration.
Oh, it tried to be hidden.
Yes. And he said the mullahs used it to carry out terrorist activities around the world. He also put a challenge out to countries like China and Russia.
And named them.
And named them and said, it's time for you, China and Russia, and he named several other nations.
Did he name Russia?
He did.
Okay, I'm sorry. He did name some European countries and China. You're
yes.
saying Russia too? Okay.
Yes. To get on board the effort to bring about change in Iran. Enough with trying to support them. Get on board. And also he said NATO must do more to get involved as well, the NATO countries, to bring about change in Iran. He also put out a kind of olive branch to the Iranian people. He's not at war. The United States, he says, is not at war with the Iranian people. He says there's an opportunity here for change. Now, he did announce there's going to be added sanctions. He's going to put even more economic pressure on the Iranian rulers to make change.
I didn't know there was any left put on them.
Well,
I thought we had sanctioned out.
Apparently, there is room for that sort of thing. So those were kind of the key points that I took away from his speech.
Yeah, and he also wanted these other countries that he named, specifically NATO countries. He talked about the UK, France, and Germany, mentioned Russia and China. And he wants other countries to also take part in the sanctions.
Yes.
He mentioned our energy independence, that we're in a really good place so that we don't have to...
Middle East oil.
Yeah, we don't need Middle East oil, so we can do as we think is best for this country without worrying about the economic repercussions of it. Again, like Fred, you did a great job summarizing that. I liked his olive branch to the Iranian people. He also said specifically under his watch, on his presidency, Iran would not get a nuclear weapon.
That's how he started off.
That's how we started off. So I think the message to the Iranian people is basically get rid of the mullahs. I mean, he didn't come out and say that. Maybe the military as well. Listen.
That's easier said than done.
Right.
It's kind of like North Korea in a way. You have a totalitarian state with a police force to enforce their theocracy, and they reign with terror.
Right.
And so, but still, the Iranian people have tasted freedom before a few decades ago. So a lot of them have memories of what that
was. And because of social media and the internet, they see what other people are free to do.
But I tell you what, the president there, he was calling out, if that's the way we want to phrase it, that's the way I looked at it, China, Russia, in particular, you too, and Germany and the UK. It's time for you guys to step up to the plate and help us with this.
Yeah.
Because this is a threat to worldwide peace and security, worldwide commerce. You allow these crazy, they're crazy in the way we think about it. They're not crazy in the way they think about it. The mullahs I'm talking about, they have an apple, what's the word? Apocalyptic
view
in their theology, and that could, you put a nuclear weapon or weapons in the hands of people like that. So the president's basically saying to the rest of the world, especially the world leaders, you got to pitch in here and help us out, because we're going to have to solve this situation with Iran, or we're all going to suffer.
Yeah, you're right. And the point you made about wanting to get rid of the mullahs for the Iranian people being easier said than done, this is a grieving circumstance for many, many reasons. But it's another one of the examples that show why our founding fathers were so wise in ensuring the American people with the Second Amendment. Because the Iranian people don't have a way to protect themselves generally against the terrorism, like you described it, of the mullahs. It's similar in Venezuela. The Venezuelan people don't want Maduro anymore. They don't want him, but they can't do anything about it, because the only ones who can actually enforce their will with any type of power and resolve is the Venezuelan government. And so different ideologies, but both totalitarian, I would argue. And it is easier said than done. And to your point about the rest of the world stepping up to the plate, I think the message to the European nations about getting on board with opposing these, getting on board with the sanctions for Iran is an important one, because the only lifeline, so to speak, out of Iran has been these other nations, some of these European nations, and as you guys have noted already, China and Russia. So I think that the president struck an appropriate tone in his speech, and it'll be interesting to see what happens following this.
Abe, if you're in Nancy Pelosi's office right now or Chuck Schumer, what in that speech could you possibly come out to the American people and criticize?
They'll find a way, Fred.
They look really sad. Yeah. Right? And I'm not talking about sad in that they're disappointed. And I know I'm conservative, so I view life through that lens politically. Mm-hmm. But still, trying to be as objective as possible right now on this, and nonpartisan, the Democrat leaders look sad, and by sad I mean pathetic.
Yeah.
And now maybe today that will change. Maybe Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer will rise above the "we hate Donald Trump so much, whatever he does, we're going to criticize." If they'll rise above that mantra and be Americans and patriotic and say, "We commend the president for wanting peace and security in the world. We may disagree with his policies sometimes."
Yeah.
If they go that route, then that will help them. But if they go this route of "we hate Donald Trump" and what he said today, makes the world a less safer place, I don't think that, Ed, that's going to be how that's viewed by the majority, probably the vast majority of the American people.
No, I absolutely agree. I think the American people generally understand by now, after 9/11, so, you know, we're talking close to 20 years, they have a better handle on terrorism and how it works, and they know these kinds of masterminds like Qasem Soleimani mm-hmm. are critically important in terms of at least disrupting the terrorist network. And I don't think that, except for the absolute far, far, far left of the Democratic Party, I don't think most
Americans... Colin Kaepernick,
American,
you mean?
Colin Kaepernick.
Secretary Kaepernick?
Yes, that's right. I don't think most people in America think that killing that guy, who is a monster, and al-Baghdadi, also President Trump mentioned, the head of ISIS, I don't think any, but very, very few Americans regret the death of those.
Yeah, but politically speaking, the Democrats don't want the president getting credit for that because it helps him in November win.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they've got to come out in some way and try to undercut him.
Yeah, and I mean, I made the point yesterday in the program that this hatred for Trump is so irrational that it's resulted in many of the leaders in the Democrat Party praising the Soleimani guy.
Yes.
As well as the media. I mean, I think it's fair if you have a disagreement about a foreign policy decision. I think it's a fair criticism and critique, having witnessed how many in the intelligence community have just soiled the reputation of the intelligence community and then flip and say, "Hey, we're going to depend on the same intelligence community to lead us into a strike in Iraq." I think that's a fair criticism. But to go so far and to fawn and to laud and to, you know, to bemoan this Soleimani guy, it shows the irrationality of this hatred for President Trump. You had the media, I mean, literally repeating the Washington Post's, you know, erudite poetic scholar line for this Soleimani guy.
Right.
Universally, people know that this guy is a terrorist.
Look, at this moment, President Obama looks very weak in his response to Iran, and President Trump looks very strong in his response to Iran. Now, that how you see that is what you know, whatever your political leanings are, more or less. However, it is true that President Obama made the decision to send the Iranians billions of dollars. That's what President Trump was talking about. President Obama was trying to buy them off, okay, buy the mullahs off, and trusting that they would do the right thing. And you remember also, this was discovered that President Obama was sending this as cash on a plane,
unmarked,
which tells me he didn't want it to be discovered.
Right?
Is that right? Was that
yeah.
Okay,
that's
then.
That's clearly what he
Why
was doing.
Why else would you send an unmarked plane and cash?
And not make a public statement
the idea that you would, this is like, that to me, that's like sending the mob, or maybe, well, you probably trust the mob more than you would the Ayatollah Khomeini, but you see what I'm saying? It's like they say, don't negotiate with terrorists. Well, President Obama was negotiating with a terrorist state. Now, look, I want to be fair. When you're the president of the United States, it's a hard job.
Yeah.
All day, every day, whether you're President Bush, President Obama, President Trump, you got to make judgment calls based on information. And if you're wrong, it's gonna impact millions of lives.
The consequences are monumental.
Yes. So, and oftentimes you don't know what the repercussions are going to be tomorrow, next week, next year. A lot of times, like with President Trump right here, you have to take his word based on intelligence verifications and what our military say and what experts say, that by taking out Soleimani, you are preventing future American lives and other people from being murdered and maimed around the world. And you can't prove that because it's not going to happen. You see what I'm saying? So it's easy to second guess the president. And so Democrats are going to say, well, we have no evidence that this was going to happen. Show us the evidence that he was going to conduct other further attacks on American people. They're trying to make politics out of it. But I digress. But I say, President Obama would not be for the Iranians getting a nuclear weapon, okay?
No, I don't think so.
No, not at all. He is a sane person.
Right.
And he does love his family, and he does care about America. President Obama, I'm talking about. So he would not want the Iranians, he wouldn't want to join them and letting them have an, he knows the seriousness of this. But it's two ways of handling the situation. A liberal/progressive way of dealing with terrorism is to try to appease.
Yeah.
Okay. That's their first instinct in the name of keeping peace. Okay. I guess is what they would say. Let's try that. So now it's a step further to me in poor judgment or misjudgment, to give them billions of dollars, the Iranians. You don't have to do that. I don't know. I think that was a grave mistake on the part of President Obama. He deserves the criticism that President Trump gave him today by name. The American people then have to decide, okay, when the president race comes up in November, do I want to go with Biden or whoever else they put up there? Or do I want to go with President Trump when it comes to dealing with international terrorism?
Well, I would say, too, that part of the reason why progressives, like President Obama, wanted to try to make a deal with Iran is because they do not have a biblical worldview. They don't understand the...
Who doesn't?
Progressives.
Okay.
And I'm talking about specifically about President Obama. They do not have a biblical worldview, so they do not believe in the reality of evil.
Yes.
So in trying to understand why Iran hates America, that's why President Obama started his presidency in 2009 with an apology tour.
Yeah.
Because the reason Iran hates us is because we've been mean to them, and we have mistreated them, and we've done this and we've done that. So if I make a deal with them, they will see that I have their best interests at heart. Mm-hmm. Not that they follow an evil ideology. Talking about these radical Muslims who are in charge of Iran, I can work with them. That's why President Obama's one of the spokeswomen mentioned the fact after the London attacks that they just needed jobs, because that's the reason why they're doing this. They're not evil. They're not following an evil ideology. They just have been oppressed. Mm, yeah. So we've got to help them find jobs, and they'll stop doing it. What President Trump realizes, having a more biblical worldview, is that these are bullies. They have an evil ideology. And what do you do with a bully? You punch him in the nose. That's why I think Iran has not escalated, because they understand Trump will hit them again and again and again. And as leaders, they may not survive. Mm-hmm. That is the difference, in my view, of two completely different ways of looking at the world and two completely different ways of looking at Iran.
Yeah. And I would add, I think President Trump's speech this morning and the actions that are happening, in my opinion, reset the national discourse to allow more fervent discussion about the ideology of these mullahs. As you stated so precisely and eloquently, Ed, I agree exactly with what you said.
I did too, but
yeah,
I guess mine wasn't eloquent enough for you.
No, I agree with what you said too, Tim.
I'm teasing.
Is the fundamental difference in the calculations that President Obama refused to acknowledge the ideology of the mullahs as evil. Mm. This is why the apology tour, this is why he got it before the UN and said that the future does not belong to those who slandered the prophet of Islam.
Oh, I remember that.
This is what he said. Because in his mindset, these people who are shouting death to America, they don't really mean it. Mm. They don't really mean it.
Or they're justified in their feelings.
Or, even worse, they're justified in their feelings. And so I think this entire scenario, I mean, where you have, it's clear who runs Iran, the clerics. What is their ideology? We have a perfect opportunity to discuss it. Because if you have a nation who, after having received billions of dollars, 1.7 in cash and 150 in total, you have the JCPOA agreement, then why are they still trying to get rockets?
Right.
Why are they still shooting at us? Why are they still attacking us? It's because that there's an ideology that underpins those decisions, and it's high time that we discuss these things openly in the country. No longer concealing it. No longer concealing the fact that the Pulse nightclub murderer was a jihadi. No longer, you know, bending over backwards to conceal that ideology, but making sure the American people are keenly aware so we are able to distinguish those who mean us harm versus those who don't.
I tell you what, I think, you know, the old expression, there's a new sheriff in town. That's what I'm thinking best describes the world stage right now. I think whether they're not, there's a lot of people who aren't going to say this out loud, foreign leaders and otherwise, they're not going to commend President Trump because they're afraid that might be interpreted as encouraging warmongering,
right?
Or they hate President Trump's policies on a lot of other stuff, so they don't want to give him credit on this so that it helps him politically,
right?
Domestically and internationally. But if you were able to get them off mic, they're saying, goodness, did you just see what that guy did?
Yes.
It's kind of like hitting a home run 500 feet. You're Mickey Mantle. Mm-hmm. And everybody's looking at each other going, did I just see that?
Yeah, even the other baseball players.
The other baseball players are going, did you just see what he just did?
Yeah.
And he hit that off the best pitcher.
Right.
Huh? So I think that this is a moment where on the world stage, where, and I don't think it's a moment of cowboyism, as we're often accused of here in the U.S. I think it's a moment of even unspoken respect.
Yes.
Because Kim Jong Un, for example, mm-hmm. you're going, that could happen to me today.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's not President Trump. Is not, as he said, he wants peace. He's not provoking. Mm-hmm. I don't view it as provoking. I think most of the people in the world don't. But he's not going to play games with you if you kill Americans.
I think he hit it out of the park today. That's me.
I do too.
I already used the Bayfall metaphor.
It
was very eloquent.
You got another one? You need to say something about hockey. If he's doing hockey, what did he do? Did
he just hit a stick-handled really well.
Did he just hit what do you call it, a hat trick?
A hat trick.
Scored a hat trick.
Are you impressed with that? I know that.
Wow. I'm surprised.
That's... Okay. Hey, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
You'll be discussing this, obviously, and have some of the president's speech this afternoon.
Lord willing, that is part of my plan.
On the Hamilton Corner at 5:05 Central Time. Ed, Fred, and Tim, we shall return with more of today's issues after the news. We'll see you in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.